Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Is this what they call a banger?
Oh, yeah, banger. It is. Yeah, it is.
Don't feel like
it. What do you think? No?
Don't feel like it.
Hard grader. Again,
who is this?
Oasis.
Never.
Didn't you see Oasis?
I saw Oasis three times
last
year.
But did you see them in England?
Yeah. Is that who Justin was telling me about this morning? Because he said you look like the lead singer from Oasis.
No, I thought he said Savage Garden.
Oh, okay. I got him mixed up. Yeah. Savage Garden.
So Savage Garden was actually me and one of my first girlfriends. Our song was a Savage Garden song.
I got to see this now because
it was like,
bad memories.
I knew I loved you. Remember that one?
Yes.
That
was a good one. I think the comparison came up because your hair yesterday, the bangs.
Yeah, they say you had bangs. The hair made it.
We thought we were getting the bangs today. What happened?
Here's the unfortunate reality, guys. Yep. And if kids are in the car, don't listen. Don't.
Oh, this always goes well. Yeah.
Bullying works. I don't know what to say. We can pretend it doesn't. It's obviously not nice to do. People
so
have
who
not
got
been
you?
Nice.
Like our coworkers got you.
So which one are you supposed to look like?
Well, do you want to see
the cut? Is this the Savage Garden? They say which one are you supposed to look like?
I mean, I would guess the one to the left, but
okay,
the bangs bomb. One.
Yeah. But so, they look like they both got bangs to me.
Well, you and I have a lot
we
of nerve.
Outs
of hair, let alone bangs.
So you've not seen the cut
down
yet.
No, I have not. I've not seen it.
Let me show you. This is the cut. How I was wearing it.
That was yesterday? What did you think of that? Elliot with bangs, you?
Elliot, you my dog, right?
Here's another one.
Looks a little trailer parkish.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that yet. I've heard a lot of things about it.
Was that you were going with that, or was that like post practice hair?
That was how I was wearing.
Oh, okay, because I knew you came for practice. I didn't know if like hair was
the videos I showed Hugh were from the weekend. When
Okay.
He looked like he about to go. You know, never mind. Let me keep that to myself.
Okay, this is the second time in two hours. Hugh's got to keep something to himself.
Yeah. Come on,
but no, bullying works. I don't know what to say. Everyone's been very mean about it.
Okay, we weren't.
You guys were not mean about it. But there's also nothing worse than going around a new group of people and no one comments on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, nobody
no one has anything nice to say. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like it was upsetting people. Like, I was, like, awkward to be in the room.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
I just have to get used to it, but
I think that's part of it.
I told Kyle what I thought it looked like you was about to go do.
No, I'm sure, Kyle. Yeah, I could guess. But
see, now you're bullying.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just gotta get you.
You're sneak bullying.
Yeah, it's a good lesson in why
sneak dissing, Joe. Sneak dissing.
Yeah, he is on the secret mic. Why it's difficult for people to do new things. I can understand. You know, it's a society where everyone has to conform, and I guess I'm stuck with this hair the rest of my life.
We have Mean Girls Douglas on the show.
Yeah, it is exactly. Mean Girls Douglas. Well, the Eagles are trying to do difficult things, change the offense. Elliot, of course, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and Cozy. All right, Elliot, let's start with this. So I think this is right up your alley. We were having the discussion this morning with everyone on does Jalen's performance this summer, not just yesterday, because yesterday didn't seem like a good day, does it matter? You know, because there are some quarterbacks, I would say, in the NFL, seasoned ones, the top of the league, that, like, it probably doesn't really matter if Josh Allen or Lamar have a great summer, right? You just kind of expect their performance to be what it normally is during the season. This summer, for me, really matters for Jalen. New offense and how he performs. And I said yesterday's like the first quiz, right? But there's a whole semester here through training camp. I'm guessing, based on how you cover training camp, you think this stuff matters.
I think it matters every time he steps out on the field, how he plays. Obviously, some matter more than others. Right. How he plays on Sunday matters more than how he plays during the first day of mandatory minicamp. How he plays in training camp, I think, matters more than how he plays in mandatory minicamp. But there's just no beat writer that was at that practice yesterday that would tell you the offense looked good. The offense looked bad. The offense lost to the defense yesterday. I think the coaches would tell you that. I think the offensive players would tell you that. And we can come up with reasons of why that is the case. And I think some of them do make sense, right? Like, the defense is running the same scheme with the same personnel. That is going to make them ahead of the offense. I think in general, it takes offense a little longer into camp to get going than the defense. And not an Eagles thing, just like in, you know, totality. But They just don't look good. And like the Jalen's missing throws deep. They would be one thing, like they're not moving the ball consistently, and that is not great to see, but that's kind of, you know, they're still learning it. But when there's throws there to be made, he's missed those throws. In the three practices I've watched, he's had three deep shots and he's missed all of them. Two were underthrown, one was overthrown. So those are the things I think you would like to see the hit him complete. So yeah, I think it does matter how he plays, no question about it.
See, and that's why I trust this reporter, because he gives me like he's there practicing, he sees it and he does a great job explaining. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna ask you this, Elliot, because this is how I feel. I feel like this year, because this is not the first year that we've been under a new regime and offensive coordinator and things of that nature. Yeah. To me, yesterday felt like the scrutiny for Jalen was a little bit more than it has been in the past, given the fact that he's been in new offenses the last couple of years. Do you feel kind of the same way?
So where I would agree with you is I think the reaction to him practicing poorly is strong, and I think that's because deep down people are worried, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that if, to your point, Joe, you know, quarterbacks, like let's say Mahomes or Tom Brady and his, like no one would care if he, Tom Brady, I could tweet, had a bad practice and nobody would really care.
Of course.
I think there is, whether fans want to admit it or not, real worry about what this offense could look like this year. This is why people react so strongly to AJ stuff, right? Because everyone's so mad at AJ now, and he's done things he probably shouldn't have done. He's not helped himself. But the real anger from that comes in the reality, they're not as good without AJ. AJ's a great player. So I think the reason there's strong reaction, to answer your question, Hugh, is there is worry about how this thing could look. So when mm-hmm. you hear it didn't look good yesterday, even though we all know there's reasons for it, I think it's just upsetting to people.
So, that's fair.
Go ahead.
That's fair. No, I was just saying that's fair, because it just felt, like I said yesterday, that was just a lot more. It was just the level of scrutiny was a lot higher.
So I'm curious from what you've seen so far and your guess, Elliot, how is this going to look? And I don't mean play action under center, because I think we all realize they're moving towards that. But the entire time Sirianni and Jalen have been here, they have run basically three wide receivers, right? That, mm-hmm. whether it's shotgun or not, that's been the offense. One tight end, three wide receivers. And that third receiver always shifted and whatever. And it seems like there's a lot more two tight ends now, right? 12 personnel, two tight ends, which would mean Goddard and Stowers, I think, as the season goes on.
You know, I think Stowers seems a little further away from...
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Johnny
Munn. Yeah.
Ideally, eventually, those two. Okay.
Yeah.
But that also means that one of those receivers that they have is not on the field as much as they normally would be. And mm-hmm. my guess would be, maybe that means Mekhi Lemon doesn't have as big of a role in his rookie year. So Devontae's going to play every snap, you would
yes.
think. The second receiver on the outside, if they're only in 12 personnel, two receivers, I would think Tavion Wicks has the heads up on that, because he knows the system, he knows Mannion, and he's currently healthy.
So there was also a rep yesterday where they had two running backs on the field.
Okay.
Right? So that, again, a receiver's coming off the field. In terms of what the power order would be for the receivers, I actually do think, now Mekhi Lemon's not practicing right now. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. He wasn't out on the field yesterday. I would be stunned if he's out there today. I think they're fine giving him this time, letting him fully recover, which I understand. Dontavian Wicks, when they made the trade, I loved the trade.
I did too.
Like, I thought it was a great signing. I think signing him beyond this year was a great call. And obviously it's early. But I can see why there were, like, he never had a breakout year in Green Bay, just because the drops that people talked about in Green Bay, I kind of dismissed a little. Watching him in practice, it feels like every time I watch him practice, he's either bobbling a ball or dropping it. So that's concerning. In terms of who would be ahead of who, I think Mekhi Lemon has the edge over Dontavian Wicks. Now, I think they'll, you know, early on maybe do rotating, but I think the Eagles want Mekhi Lemon out there. But the issue with that is he's undersized, and Dontavian Wicks brings size, so that, you know, that's an advantage for him.
What's your thought on watching a few practices with Sean Mannion on the field? There was one, I'm not sure where I saw the clip, but there was a clip yesterday where he was in the quarterback individual drill, right, and kind of handing the ball to the quarterback, like mm-hmm. almost simulating as if he was the center, but he was facing the quarterbacks, and Jalen was the clip I saw. Maybe you've seen this. I mean, I can't recall seeing coordinators do that. That felt to me more like a positional coach kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's your thought on just watching him on the field?
He's definitely very hands-on. I think he's definitely very energetic. Like, you can tell he's very excited to be there. Nick Sirianni has talked about how, you know, Mannion's one of the first people in the building every morning and one of the last people to leave. Like, one impression I definitely get of Mannion is he has been waiting for this moment, and now he is ready to, like, fully throw everything he has into it. You know, I think one benefit of hiring him as opposed to a Mike McDaniel or a Brian Daboll is those guys probably just go home when everyone else goes home. They've had a career. They have money. They've made a name for themselves. This is it for Sean Mannion. Like, this is his time to shine. So when you watch him out there on the practice field, I think you can just tell how excited he is, how motivated he is, how invested he is. I think the players have seen that from him. One thing I'm hearing that I think is super encouraging is he's been really good in team meetings. And I think that really matters, because when you're Sean Mannion, you're coming into this job. The flip side of being of not being Mike McDaniel or Brian Daboll is guys don't know who you are, and you don't have a resume to lean on. So I would imagine the first time he stepped in front of these players, there was a little of like, let's see what this guy has. I mean, he's been a practice squad player. He's only coached for 2 years. And it sounds like he's been really good in those meetings, like very prepared, speaks confidently. So I think that's encouraging. So it's the honeymoon phase. You know, we'll see when the real games start, how everything goes. But early on, it seems like he could not be making a better first impression.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here in studio as we talk through Eagles minicamp here. All right, Elliot, let's what's going on with Jalen Carter? So he's there, which he was
there yesterday.
That's great. But from what I understood, he was in individual drills, but not team drills. Now, if you had a guess, is that more of just kind of the progression from the offseason and his shoulder, or is there something more going on here that he's there but not fully doing everything?
If I had to guess, and I don't have this answer, I would think this is more contract related. And this would also probably be the first time where you see a little bit, not I don't want to say like a fraction, but if he was paid, my guess is he would be doing team drills yesterday. It's just my read on it. So maybe it's not tense. Maybe they're all in agreement. Like, hey, we're working through this. Don't go out there. You have $100 million guaranteed on the line. God forbid you were to injure yourself, whatever. But in my experience of covering these mandatory mini camps, one of the sole purposes of them, or biggest ones, is just seeing who's in, like who's in and who's not. Like, the Eagles very rarely have guys hold out from mandatory minicamp, but there's been times where guys have been in contract disputes and they've been there but not practiced. He practiced a little bit, but him not doing team drills, I think, is an indication, and I do think it's contract related.
If he doesn't have a deal by day one of training camp, do you think he's practicing?
Yes. I just don't think he'll hold out and not practice. But look, I thought this deal would be done by now, right? And it seems
we all did. We thought it was going to be done after the Jordan deal.
I mean, think about this time last year. We were all just waiting to see on that first day they were allowed to do it how big the check is that they were going to give.
Right.
And the fact it's not done is surprising to me. And I think this flew under the radar a little bit. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns, right, has obviously been reporting a lot on the Myles Garrett
thing. She's been reporting on them for a long time.
Yeah, she's like, the Ruben Frank of that, right? Like, she is like the best doing it. Rube's the GOAT.
No, I didn't say he wasn't.
Okay, yeah.
He's tenured. No. She's like tenured. Mary Kay's tenured, yeah. Ruben's right. Tenured.
Hugh just did a whole thing about how he doesn't respect any of the Eagles beats besides Elliott and Marcus Rube's Hayes. Cool. So.
They're going to come after you next, by the way, Douglas.
Let them come.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, Mary Kay came. I have to go hang out with these. But yeah.
I'm making it bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns. And during the whole Myles Garrett thing, she was reporting on it, obviously. And she said the Eagles didn't try for Myles Garrett, which, who knows? Like, I'll believe her on that. But this, to me, was the interesting part. She said the Browns had zero interest in acquiring Jalen Carter. Zero. Like, you don't often hear that about a great player, right?
And the Browns could use any talent they could find.
And Andrew Berry, he was not here when they drafted Jalen Carter. His brother works for the team currently, and he obviously worked here and is close with people in the building. So I thought that was pretty surprising. Like, 0% after how he's played is pretty wild.
Is it fair to wonder if we overrate Jalen Carter? Just like all of us.
I think it's fair to wonder that.
Yeah, because maybe the league doesn't view him the same way, because it seemed like the Rams-Browns trade was like, they built it around, we want to Jared Verse, right? And give us picks, but we want to build our next defense around Jared Verse. They didn't seemingly feel that way about Jalen Carter.
And you could convince me that Jared Verse, like if I got to pick between the two, you could convince me to take Jared Verse.
Sure.
But I think it's at least debatable.
I would think it would be too.
Now, part of it is Jared Verse is still a full year away from being paid, I believe. Jalen Carter, obviously,
is in the throes of being paid.
Yeah, you would have to pay him. But yeah, I thought that was super interesting to hear that this team that you would think would have a ton of interest in him had zero.
Yeah, that did strike me. All right, let's take a phone call here with Elliot, and then we got to get to one more thing that keeps standing out here from early Eagles practices. Derek in Paoli's up on WIP. Hey, Derek.
Yo, first things first. Elliot, man, listen, if you're going to be out here like trying to sell us all these stories and this and that, right, you got to stand up, man. Just because people don't like your hair, man, don't mean you change up your style.
I agree, Derek.
Man, just listen. Listen, your style is your style. You look in the mirror and you like it, you can't say, oh, Spike and them bullied me and this person ain't like it, so I'm going to change it. That ain't, like, I try to stick up for you with the sassy E stuff, but when you start doing, like, sucker stuff like this, you come in here with a whole new haircut after you were sold on it yesterday.
No, so here
you go home and now you don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
I don't know. That's honestly, just me, though. That's just me.
No, Derek, I 100% agree with you on this. Like, I thought about this quite a bit. Here's the problem, though. The last 2 days I've been down at the Eagles, it feels like everybody is looking at me the entire time. And it's been like distracting in trying to do my job. So I agree with you. And I'm going to wear
my
hair.
A little different. But,
I do, yes.
No, you just got to get used to it, dog. Just
I know,
get used
I agree.
To it.
And I'm going to wear it. Yeah. I am going to wear it differently, like out and about. But professionally, it feels like it's too much.
It might have distracted Jalen in practice yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? That's the excuse we need. That's it. It was Elliott on the side. Right.
So look, this is my Eagles point, right? So, like, if we get, like, my whole thing is all off season, even during season, all we hear about is Jalen Hurts, he don't like going under center, he don't like throwing under the middle, this offense is all about timing, right? Mm-hmm. So, I get, Elliot, you get paid to do your job. That's your job. I respect it, right?
Thank
so,
you.
When you come back and say, like, oh, he's missing throws and stuff like that, I know for me how I look at it is, well, at least he's making them throws, right? Like, and hopefully over time, the throws that he's missing, he'll keep build up the confidence to keep making them. And then, you know, that's part of him learning the offense and trusting the process and this, that, and the third. Like,
so
I'm just not worried yet. Like, if we, you understand what I'm saying? Like, timing, like, we all watch football, Sean McVay, all this and that. So it is all about timing. So if a quarterback like him has never really been known for that, like, we can't expect him to go out there and just look like a whiz kid. If he was a whiz kid, he would have been a first-round draft pick. He wouldn't have been drafted to be Carson Wentz's backup. Like, this is going to take him a little bit of time to learn because it's way different. And like you said, the offensive line, Shea saying different stuff, like the terminology, I just think it's going to take him a little bit of time. And I just hope, you know, now he looks like crap taking it in. That gets a little scary, but for right now, I just want him to just...
Yeah, I agree with you, Derek. I do think it's okay the offense is not winning today. That's not really my concern.
Especially against this defense.
But I would also say that just from watching practice, the ball is not really being thrown different places than it was last year. Mm. Like, so deep balls are something Jalen should hit. And, you know, this right now, what I'm watching is not changing my opinion of the upcoming season. I think there is something, too, when you're actually the one watching it, you internalize it, and it does hit you different. But when, you know, he's thrown the ball deep 3 times and he's missed all 3 of them, it's hard for me to come on here and be like, he's been great.
No,
like,
you got to talk about it.
Yeah, no, you're supposed to. You can say, listen, you can say that, right? But my whole thing is, when the Eagles played the Bills, right, Josh Allen missed a throw that he could make 10 out of 10 times.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Like, quarterbacks, they're not going to complete, whether it's a long pass, short pass, they're not completing every single pass every single time.
Yep.
Like, that's just how I am. I don't really get worried about it until we start losing games. You
now,
know
to
what I'm
be
saying?
Fair,
but,
though,
you
last
know,
year in training camp, when he wasn't playing well, right, people kept saying, well, it's just training camp. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it did. Yeah. The offense was not good.
And there's been years where he's played well in camp. I mean,
right.
2022,
the
breakout.
Record,
yeah. If you go back to Wentz, that great camp he had, that
right.
was his one great
yes.
So it's all relative. Derek, what's your guess for Hughes Clues? What is what's the franchise Hughes talking about?
Man, I'm like the boy, what's his name from the Phillies, man? I just laughed at Hughes Clues, man. I'll catch y'all at 1 o'clock, man.
You got it, Derek. It's like T-Mac just laughing at
what
Hughes Clues.
What are you talking about, man? That was a good clue.
Well, obviously, Derek has no idea.
No, Derek was being nice, man. I ain't paying attention.
Why don't you give Elliot the first clue, see if he has any
All
idea.
Right, then, Elliot, the first clue is this is a decade-old franchise.
Don't let him guess.
No, I'm not going to guess, okay?
No,
a decade-old franchise.
Yeah.
Decades-old.
Decades.
Do you have any idea? Just yes or no? Off the first clue, like,
I mean, I feel like there would be a lot of them.
Well, that's
right?
Usually where you.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, he did a professional franchise. Like, this is the name of a professional franchise. There's 3,500 professional franchises.
It was the Salt Lake Bees.
That's a good clue.
Yeah.
I feel like the issue with Hughes Clues is he just thinks on a level
that's,
that you guys.
He vibrates on a higher level.
He sees things so differently, right?
Differently,
why are you giving him ammo?
I've been trying to tell him, man.
Someone
but
has
now,
to prop
you
him
just,
up.
You no. just dropped no. gems
no.
on
we
us.
We got to bring him right
been
back
bullied
down.
The last 2 days. So
no, I'm just
nice
saying, and
people.
I tried to tell Joe, now Joe's starting to get a little irritated with my takes, though. You see, he's starting to
feel it.
Well, you are. You're being really annoying.
All right. Elliot, let's end with this. Why is Andy Dalton the number two quarterback on the Eagles?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Nick talks at 12:30 today. Yep. Yesterday was AJ day. Today is Andy Dalton day. I mean, we've watched them practice three times, and Andy Dalton has been the clear-cut backup quarterback all three of those practices. Yesterday, at one point, Andy Dalton had taken like 24 reps, and McKee was at 4. Like, he is just practicing way more than Tanner McKee is. Now, today we'll see. Yeah. If they're rotating, today should be Tanner's day. But
quickly, I'm just trying to piece this together logically. One guy's 38, one guy's 26, right? One guy they acquired for a 7th-round pick. One guy, it seems like they have put a mid-round pick as an evaluation for a possible trade. So, like, in their eyes, would they seem to say that Tanner's more valuable, yet they're giving Dalton the reps. So, if you had to guess why, do they just think Dalton's better?
Is there only two McKee trade coming? There's only two ways to look at
this.
One, Andy Dalton is the backup quarterback.
Right.
And we're just lying to ourselves
a little bit. Why?
They think he's better. I don't know what the other reason would be.
Well, maybe they're planning to trade McKee.
They might just think Dalton's better. Look, here.
Does McKee make any sense as a 3 in his walk here?
Here's what I'll say about
McKee.
That
makes no sense.
And to be, you know, me, Hugh, and Ike, like, Tanner is the player's lounge quarterback.
He was called in the future for 2 years.
But I think sometimes we maybe need to take a little bit of a step back with Tanner. Like, Tanner has started one game in the NFL, right? And he's been a backup quarterback his whole career. Andy Dalton has been a Pro Bowl level quarterback, right?
Now, but he is 38 years
old. Agreed, 100%. But I'm just saying, like, Tanner still has quite a bit to prove. Tanner is not like some proven backup that you can just put in and be like, well, we know we'll be good to go with him for a few games. Like, he does have something to prove. So it's definitely possible they could just think Dalton's better. The other reason it could be, and this could be the only pro Tanner way I think of viewing this, is they're giving Dalton the reps now, and then in training camp, Tanner's going to get them all.
Okay, so now is the Andy's time.
They're getting Andy all his reps now.
And then in training camp is Tanner.
Yeah, but we'll see, you know?
I mean, Douglas over here has got another theory. He's been workshopping for 2 days.
I don't think that's the case, because you like, reps right now, because one thing is true about all of this. The reps are precious because you're learning a new offense. And if you want Andy Dalton taking as many reps as you want him to take, there's, to me, I feel like you feel that if the quarterback can't get the job done, then that Andy Dalton's going to be the guy that you're going to put in there. That's what I think.
So, Hugh's been greasing the skids for Dalton to take over at some point. You have!
It's the way he says it that sounds bad.
Well, I mean, you have, like, mentioned Andy Dalton, like, incessantly over the last week or so.
No.
I mean, he almost took as many reps as Jalen yesterday.
Hugh, if you say there might be precipitation outside and I say it's going to pour, we're saying the same thing.
I'm going to say this.
Said it my way.
No, you're saying it, and you're saying it with vitriol.
Yeah, those also aren't the same thing.
No, they're not.
What I'm saying is this.
Is there rain either way? Is there rain either way in our scenario?
Are you gonna let me finish this?
Yeah,
because he likes to stir it. You know, Joe has his big old spoon.
Because you talk around it.
He likes to stir the pot. I'm not talking around anything. I'm saying it. He's getting the most reps. He's getting as many reps as the quarterback.
I hear you.
So and this is a new offense. So if it goes south, Andy Dalton's gonna be the guy.
Well, here's what I'd say to back up Hugh. This one. To be clear, I do not think they're gonna bench Jalen for Andy Dalton.
I don't either.
But Andy Dalton's a pretty good litmus test. Like, if they can watch the offense, one way and Andy Dalton's running it and Jalen can't, like, you know Andy Dalton should be able to run this offense. He's been under center all the time. It's not, like, I think we act like they're going to revolutionize the NFL. They're just going to put him under center, right? Like, so if, I think it's a good way of seeing, like, Andy can do it.
See, Joe, but see, when Joe said he tries to be salacious with it, I'm not trying to be salacious.
Salacious. You have tiptoed around.
You're just talking about rain. It's pouring all of a sudden. There's a monsoon.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Douglas has tiptoed around. They might at some point this season bench Jalen for Dalton. And I'm supposed to sit here and just say, oh, yeah, Hugh, that's an interesting idea. Instead of sound all the alarms.
But that's not where it is. It's just that when you're splitting reps with somebody, reps, like, normally in a regular practice day, say if you're getting 20 reps, and, you know, math is hard. So I'm gonna say you give Jalen 12 reps, right? So you give eight left. So you give Andy 6, and Tanner might get 2.
Wait, what about Cole Payton's got to get 1?
Well, okay, then he might
Cole Payton and Tanner getting the same amount of reps.
Okay, so he's like splitting down. Wow. So Jalen gets 8, And how does it break down? 8, 10, 12.
No, we've,
but anyway, but anyway,
we've lost
we give Cole some rest.
Do yourself a favor.
Whatever the rest of 20 is, that's what Cole Payton's getting. Yeah,
the quick math whoops my ass every time.
Quality control,
but,
Douglas over
but
here.
But anyway,
it's
the
nice
point that I'm
of you as head coach of the Falcons here.
But anyway, the point is those reps matter because you're critiquing those reps.
Yes.
You're evaluating those reps. And if the quarterback, the starting quarterback and the backup are getting the same amount of reps, you can't look at it any other way unless he's – except for he's the contingency if it doesn't work out.
Well, that's what all backups are. I mean, I do think they
– Thank you.
I just don't think
– I never disagreed with that.
In order for them to bench Jalen, I don't think Jalen would get benched until week like 14, 15.
I agree. I said in December at the earliest.
And even then, what are you saving at
that
point?
I mean, they let Carson play, and he was the worst quarterback in the league till December. Yeah,
and Jalen, the winner, came in.
Well, and Jalen was at least a higher pick. He was a second-round pick. All right, Elliot, thank you for hopping in. We appreciate
it.
And we're looking forward to the Andy Dalton questions today at the press conference.
12:30.
But by the way, good questions yesterday. You and the Bulldog, Dave.
Ram's the best question asker in the city, or certainly on the short list.
I mean, he's
unbelievable.
He's a Bulldog. All right, Elliot, thank you. We will talk to Elliot soon. 215-592-9494. Your calls and all this. Does all this matter? Does the way Jalen performs at practice matter to you this summer? It does to me. Hugh's out here workshopping all sorts of things here. And we got to get to maybe the biggest issue with the Phillies that no one's really talking about. And a second clue for Hugh's Clues. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We have dreams of the championship with our teams. Be the world champion of your neighborhood with an upgrade to your home with my friends at Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, experience matters. At Pella Windows and Doors, their expert consultants help you find the perfect fit for your home and your budget with flexible pricing and financing options designed around you. You'll get energy efficient products backed by some of the best warranties in the business, including insulation. And if you ever sell your home, those warranties transfer to the new homeowner. That's why your neighbors trust Pella. Right now, get 40% off installation or 0% APR for 60 months. Book a free in-home consultation today by calling 877-98-PELLA. That number again, 877-98-PELLA. Or visit PellaPhilly.com. That's PellaPhilly.com. And tell them Joe Giglio sent you. That. Yeah. It is a great show. Great song. Welcome back, Midday Show.
And a great show.
It is a great show.
Great show, great song. Show. Not a great Phillies game last night, unfortunately. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Your second clue for Hugh's Clues is coming here in just a second. But Hugh, Phillies lose last night. Durán blows his first save of the season.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, listen, that's when you're as good of a closer as Durán is and you've been as dominant, it happens. And he didn't even get hit last night. I mean, that was – if there's one thing with Durán that does concern me in big moments, he throws – he has wildness, right? There's wild pitches and that advances runners. That's really why they got those runs last night, both of them, because the guys moved around the base with the wild pitch. He had that in October, too. But, I mean, he's been great. I don't blame him really for last night. It happens. The issue is they didn't score enough, right? They had another game where they were trying to walk that tightrope of not scoring. And Hugh, we expect this at this point, and we keep looking for solutions, and we keep looking for answers. And, you know, I heard the afternoon show yesterday wondering if we could now start to dream on Adolis Garcia. And when Boehm gets hot for a week and a half, it's like, oh, maybe it's him. The answer to the Phillies' problems is there if we just acknowledge it's a problem. This is, Hugh, if this offense is going to improve, it's not about if Garcia is going to become great again. He's not. Now, he might, you know, kind of level out. It's not about Alec Boehm being great. He's never been great. The only way this offense really gets moving and sustains is if Trey Turner wakes up. I mean, that last at-bat last night was crap. Most of his at-bats this year have been crap. We have a Trey Turner problem. And it's like, I almost am amazed at how little that people have acknowledged it this year. If you look at the numbers, and we looked at them this morning, his numbers this year, you know, on June 10th, are worse than they were in 2023, his first year here, when all we talked about was Trey, because he was new and he just got the contract and we expected so much. And it's not even close. So on June 10th, through 66 games in his first year here, Trey Turner had a 691 OPS and a 249 batting average. Neither good, but compared to now, he's hitting 226. So he's 23 points below that. And his OPS is 623. We've got a Trey Turner problem. They need him. We keep saying Boehm, Garcia, Stott, Real Muto. No. They need Trey Turner to wake up. Otherwise, I just don't see how the offense could ever be what we want it to be.
Yeah, and you talk about what he was, what is it, last year?
Last year.
Last year he was pretty good. Yeah, that's the problem that you're having. And last night, defensively, he missed a couple plays out there yesterday. He needs to play better. No question about that.
All right, well, here's the question. I mean, how concerned are we with this? And then we think it's going to turn around. I mean, again, I can't see the path to their offense being good without him being better. You know, they could add someone at the trade deadline. We're going to come up with a bunch of names over the next month, and that guy certainly could help. But it all only works if Trey Turner gets going. Hugh, I'm concerned because it's when I watch him, I don't know what he's trying to be at the plate. Last year, he committed to being more of an average hitter, going the other way, winning the batting
benefited from that tremendously.
This year, he feels like he's gone away from that a little bit, trying to lift the ball again the way he did earlier in his career, but he just looks in between to me. He's not hitting the ball very hard. He's not hitting the ball with extreme power. He's not getting base hits. I just don't know what he does well right now, besides run, which he always runs well, and he always probably will run well. But Hugh, I'm pretty concerned we're just not this. He's not just going to snap out of this the way he has in the past.
Well, you know what's funny? It's you talking about somebody snapping out of it. Now it looks like Adolis Garcia is starting to turn the corner a little bit. It's just unfortunate when we talk about some of these players for this team in particular. It just takes them a while to move to get out of the slumps that they're in. Longer than we would like them to as fans. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Trey. Because like you said, Joe, since the time he's been here, he's been up and down. He had a bounce back year last year and kind of regressed this year.
Yep.
Hopefully this year he could be somewhere in the middle of what you would like him to be. But it's unfortunate for us that when it comes to some of these players, it just takes a while for us to get there with them.
Well, it does. And you know, with Trey, it's taken a lot. I mean, the whole season, he just hasn't gotten going at all. He had the two home runs last week in 2 weeks ago in San Diego. And I thought maybe this is the hot streak because he could do that. He could get really hot. We saw it in 23. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have a month where he hits a bunch of home runs, doubles, triples, and he looks good. I thought maybe as they got through that San Diego series, it's coming. But since then, no. And Hugh, the other part that makes it hard now for Don Mattingly is he switched the lineup, right? He put Schwarber at one, he put Turner at two. But the more that Trey struggles, I'm noticing less pitches that Schwarber's getting to hit. So we're trying to get Trey going. We're trying to, you know, not make him the leadoff hitter because we don't want to give as many at-bats. But I actually think it's had a negative effect on Schwarber because he's gone to the leadoff spot. And now these pitchers are like, I'm not pitching to Kyle Schwarber. Trey Turner's behind him. So I think it's hurting Schwarber as well as it's hurting Trey Turner. 215-592-9494. Kyle, we got a Trey Turner issue again.
Well, just think about what it would do for the lineup if he got going, or at least was some semblance of even the Trey from last year.
Yep.
I mean, because Marcia stepped up, maybe Adolis Garcia is heating up a little bit. Like, that's just a third. Really, you're talking about three righties in the lineup that are solid. Like, that just makes the lineup look deeper when Trey's hitting well, just because of what those other two guys are doing. Like, he's a big Trey Turner-sized hole at the top of the lineup.
So let's just play out Kyle's scenario. Let's say Trey gets going. Mm-hmm. And we know Marsh has hit like an all-star. We know Bryce has been really good. And we know, you know, Schwarber leads the league in home runs. If you then got another bat at the deadline, you'd have yourself a lineup.
You have a nice little formidable lineup. Yeah. Formidable lineup, yeah.
No well, it, I mean, it even makes you feel it's less of a need at the deadline if Trey gets going. I mean, because we talked about the bat versus the pitching. Mm-hmm. Adolis Garcia, you could almost talk yourself into being, like, if he really starts to heat up, that's similar to a trade deadline acquisition, sure. Or at least, you know, you could see Dave up there spinning it that way.
Yeah, I could.
But then you're talking about, you know, instead of a guy who you need to play every day as a righty in your lineup, you can get a platoon guy or, you know, like it changes what you need.
Well, but if Trey doesn't get going, you need
then,
a real bat.
You very much need it.
Well, I'm at the point now where, like, let's say they land a really good right-handed bat. You know, for me, it's Mike Trout. You might have a different name you like. You know where I would put that bat in the lineup? Like, Hugh, if we got Mike Trout or anyone like Mike Trout tomorrow, I'd put him in Trey's spot. I would go Schwarber, Trout, or who, you know, name your acquisition at the trade deadline if you don't, you're not a Mike Trout person. I would go Schwarber, the acquisition they make, Harper, Marsh. Like, they're at the point now with the way Trey's hitting. They have to replace Trey's spot in the lineup. They're getting nothing out of the second hole. They need him to wake up and immediately if this offense is going to be good enough. 215-592-9494 for your take on Trey. Tough night for the Phillies to blow that game. And Wheeler pitched well again. And, you know, the bullpen leading up to Duran was good enough last night. But unfortunately, Duran had a tough night, and they just didn't score enough. And the Trey stuff is just driving me crazy. Your take on Trey and Jalen Hurts as he goes through the summer. They'll have another practice today, and then it'll be off to training camp July, August. Does it matter how he plays in practice? It does for me. It doesn't as much for Hugh. Where do you come down? 215-592-949 for Hugh. Why don't you give everyone a second clue?
Second clue is, I played the first version of this video game, and I didn't like it.
Ooh, that kind of now we're gonna go along with Hugh Douglas thinks. So it's a franchise been around
It's a hell of a franchise. I just didn't like the first game.
Okay, all right. So we have a couple clues out for you for Hugh's clues, and the winner today wins the tickets.
Well, so now we know it's a game.
We do. Okay. Yeah, it's a game Hugh didn't like.
Yeah,
the first version. All right, I mean, my lot of concert listening. Tickets.
Maybe if you played it with a clan.
Well, I'm saying I kind of gave him a hint like at the beginning of the show when I was talking about video games. I mean, you got, you know, context clues.
You thought that would give it away.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, the Daily Douglas doesn't always pertain to the.
Well, in fact, a lot of times it pertains to nothing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's nonsensical. Yep. Most times.
Yeah. Like the show. All right, let's go to Kenny, who's up on WIP. Kenny?
Yo, guys, I might even have the answer to that, but I'm not going to answer it because you, guess what? Me and you were on the same vibe a lot of times. I'm a video game playing comic book kid, actually, too, and I'm in my 50s. I spank them online, Xbox and computer. But back to my points here.
Yes.
I'm agreeing with Joe on this, and I want to continue our little debate on yesterday that we had about Sirianni, and I got to leave you with something, guys. First, you. I agree with Joe on this. It all matters. It all matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like when that woman says size don't matter, read the room. That matters, too. It does matter, and we better focus on this year because there's a lot of inconsistencies, man. There are. You, I was a comic book kid. Remember what if line? What if
you talking about?
What if Jalen Carter?
I know what you're talking about. The what ifs? Yeah, mm-hmm. Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, come on, yo, dude. Listen, I go to Marvel 2-in-1s. I'm old school. I was born in 70. I'm a comic book kid. Oh,
that's older than him.
Video game. No, I'm for real. But I could school you on all those things because I've done it my whole life. But back to my point. Wow, I just lost my. Oh yeah, my.
Dude,
what
I do
if,
that every day. Don't worry about it. Gather your thoughts and come back to it. You got it.
Yep. My what if was this. What if Jalen Carter didn't make that sack?
Yeah, that's, you know, you're talking about to win. You're talking about against the Rams to take a tennis to the Super Bowl. Joe's done that a lot of times. But you know what? He did. And history is written the way that it's been written.
No,
but yeah, I get
I know.
It. I definitely get it.
I know. Well, I learned something. One thing in all things, seek wisdom. So I learned something within that little thing there. Sometimes those are little life lessons, though, because something was going on there. There was definitely some conversation about taking the wide receiver over the quarterback. And to me, that raised my neck again like a turkey. I mean, these things raise radars. Just like, I'm going to tell you, just like, what was it, Harry Douglas yesterday?
Yes.
He kicked some facts, actually, that really woke me up. I'm going to tell you, people listen to this stuff because he said Sean Mannion has got some stuff going on that no one ever had under Sirianni. And that's one of my arguments there. Nah, come on, man, the writing's on the wall. Read the room. One thing, listen to this. What does he say? Culture?
Yeah, culture center.
Culture hasn't always been cultured, has it?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not last year. Kenny, good phone call, man. We appreciate you. No,
yeah, what, give you something to think about.
I like the mic drops from Kenny. He always ends with something really good there. To me, it all matters. The way Jalen plays each practice and it builds. I'm not panicking over yesterday. Like, it's not a big deal. Yesterday, he didn't play particularly well, and the offense is behind the defense. That is expected. It is logical. It makes sense. But I'll put it this way. I can't wait to find out how he plays today. And then day one of training camp, and then day two of training camp, and then it just builds. And I need to see and hope to see improvement. And here's what I would love to do, Hugh. I would love to come in here the day training camps ends, you know, August 17th or whatever, and say, man, by our eyes, because you and I get to be there a lot during, you know, the August portion of things, and we do our shows from there, and everything I heard from Elliot and the people that cover the team, Jalen really got better and better and better and better. I would love to say that. And I will come in here, if he does, and say, I think he's ready to go, and this offense is going to be better than we think early. But if it's the opposite, I have to say the opposite, right? Like, if he struggles the whole time, then I have to say this matters, and this might not work out the way we want.
You know what? I think when I said what I said, I think people misunderstood it. Like, it's your right to scrutinize Jalen in this. Like, that's I'm not arguing that. I just think that the level is a lot higher than it has been in the past, because every year there has been a new offense that has been implemented. And the defense has always been ahead of the offense, even if the offense was the same. That's just a timing thing. I just think that the biggest thing right now is that and I get that because of everything that has happened. It's just brought more to light now, because I would guarantee you that every offense struggles in the first day. I guarantee you if the Rams had their first OTAs.
Wow.
That
May didn't struggle yesterday.
No, I'm just saying there might be some struggling involved.
Well, okay. Maybe. I mean, sure.
And then you're talking about Drake May. You're talking about Drake May being an offense that he's been in for a while.
No, yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's...
And they're just trying to get AJ up to speed or the other Doucette. Yeah, yeah. They're trying to get them up to speed.
There's reasons for everything that happens in all these camps and practices and all that. I do think Elliot hit on something, Hugh, when he was with us about the Jalen thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are worried.
No, yeah, and that's fair, Joe. That is fair, because, like I said, there's been a lot of consternation, trepidation, whatever dations you want to put in this last offseason, where people are feeling some kind of way about moving forward. Because whether we admit it or not, there was a decision that was made, and they chose the quarterback over the receiver. Because everybody that we've talked to told you flat out that they don't know what this offense is going to look like without that receiver.
Right.
So now we have to move on from that. And the first day didn't look that great.
So, but didn't. I'll add this. I think when Elliot said people deep down are concerned, it made me think about, like, if they weren't concerned, wouldn't the reaction to all this be, this is laughable? He'll be fine. He's been doing this every year. He's consistent every year. He's fine. Like, if there was a practice report out of Buffalo that Josh Allen had a bad day, my guess is people around the league or their fans would say, who cares? Like, we know what he'll be in September.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing more is, well, the defense is great. Well, it's the first day. Well, it's a new offense.
The
well, it's
I
this.
Word.
Yeah.
Insecurity.
There's a ton of insecurity. Yeah. And understandable insecurity.
I agree.
I'm insecure. I'm fully insecure. Hugh, you insecure?
No, I'm not
Hugh.
Insecure. Definitely not insecure.
Don't lie to the people.
Insecure.
About Jalen.
No.
Yeah, you won't even need
to listen. I didn't know how this is going to play out.
You tell us.
It's going to play out. It's going to play out the way it play out.
Oh, thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How's that?
Because I have vision.
No. How is it going to play out?
How's it going to play out? It's just going to play out. There's going to be some growing pains. Oh.
You're insecure. It's not a big deal.
No, I'm not insecure. Insecure sounds so bad.
Well, this whole entire city's insecure right now.
No, a little bit. Everybody in their feelings a little bit. Everybody a little tight.
It's okay to be insecure. It's very natural.
Don't hide from your feelings.
Yeah, come on, you.
I'll never hide from my feelings.
This is a safe space.
Oh,
very
on.
Confident.
You won't drink the good nut. You won't eat a glizzy.
Definitely not drinking a good nut.
You are running from your true feelings.
I was not prepared for him to say that.
A real man would eat a glizzy live on camera, drink a good nut, and say
that. Lug down the good nut.
Drink the good nut is bananas. No, I'm not doing that.
It's Tom Brady's company. What's wrong with you? Just eat a hot dog like a grown-up.
See, a secure man would drink the good nut.
Yes.
I was not prepared for that.
I think the next step is we order three good nuts right on the air.
I agree. Damn if I drink that.
Come on, Hugh.
Mm-hmm. I will guzzle the good nut.
Let's go to Frank and Galloway. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's
Frank?
Up, man?
How you doing today?
Good, Frank. What are you thinking?
Not much. I mean, I think you're going to hear this a little more frequently than you're going to hear, oh, yeah, he looks great. I mean, again, he's... You know, you're asking a quarterback who wasn't even doing anything remotely close to running this kind of offense. It's not like minor tweaks. I mean, he would drop back, you know, he looks for the run and he runs to the right or throws it out of bounds a lot. And, you know, this team was really bad with three and outs. First of all, they got to just control the ball better. So there's a lot of issues going on here. It's not like some minor tweaking. So, you know, I'm surprised that they're saying he's missing on deep balls. Maybe it has something to do with, you know, the whole timing thing. But, you know, I just think he's going to fare average in this. I think he's going to, you know, he's a competitor. And, it's not going to be the second coming of Joe Montana with this, I tell you that. And, you know, he's probably just going to stay right where he's at, around, you know, middle of the pack on the offense. The passing game might improve because it couldn't really get too much worse. But you did lose a star receiver, which... You know, people want to sit there and put that under the carpet, like, oh, AJ this, AJ that. But AJ was was saying things that people should have been really listening to and waking up. And, you know, management, I think, in my opinion, should have tried to address that issue when it first started, because this receiver was right. I mean, he might have went out, you know, a little sour and pouting, reading books and stuff, but he didn't just make up stuff. I mean, what he's saying, you know, has deep meanings. So, what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, Hugh, for years we've been talking about this, that AJ may have been correct. It just was a matter of how he went about what he said.
Yeah, I think the biggest argument that most people have is the fact that AJ said it. I never had a problem with him saying it because I feel like it needed to be said, but a lot of people had a problem. It was him, and it was not his place to do it. But I didn't have a problem with what he said.
Frank, what's your guess for Hugh's clues?
I wasn't, guys, I'm over here doing some work on the phone, and I just was on hold, so I really didn't, I wasn't paying attention. My bad.
You got it, Frank. Appreciate it. This is a bad look for you.
No, it's not. It's not a bad look for me. He wasn't paying attention. I mean, he didn't want to give a guess. I mean, that's fine.
Well.
That means your clues aren't compelling enough for people to lock in on.
What are you talking about?
If he wasn't paying attention, that means you didn't grab him.
He didn't want to go. I did.
He's the audience. You have to hook the audience.
The audience is hooked, just not Frank. Frank wasn't trying to be hooked.
Okay. Are you blaming Frank?
Nah, a little bit.
Okay.
He said he wasn't paying attention. Most people that listen to this show, they're locked
in. You're trying to blame the hookie. I'm blaming the hooker.
215-592-9494.
I've been on my best behavior.
You have for now.
2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's why you won't let us order any more glizzies or any good nuts around here.
No good nuts.
215-592-9494. You can get in this with all your phone calls. Does it matter how Jalen performs in practice this summer? It does for me. Hugh saying blame the media. Do the Phillies have a Trey Turner problem? And does it matter to you here about the Hurts thing? All right, coming up. It is Top 11 week coming up next week, and Kyle workshopped something with us off the air. We got to bring to the air.
Well, I'm no longer workshopping it. I did it. Well, I've submitted my top 11.
He pulled the trigger. I need to send mine in because he gave me
And Kyle is dead wrong on this. It's against the rules, so it's against my rules. All right, we're going to hit that next. Your phone calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The finals are here, and both teams are set. Now you could trade every game on Kalshi. Game 4 tonight, the Spurs and the Knicks. The Spurs trading at 47% to win tonight. $100 trade on the Spurs pays out a pretty good amount. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in the live market. No house, no odds, no odds makers. And as the odds move, you could buy in or out anytime. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI. Kalshi, trade on anything.